Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Did you just turn on a washing machine?
It's my air conditioner.
It sounds like a fucking airplane starting, bro. Yeah,
Are you under 6'10", but can shoot threes and can play defense? You may be entitled to a Mavericks roster spot. It's the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast. I'm your host, Don Denham. You can find me on Twitter at Don_Denham. With me today is my fellow Mavs fan for life. You can find him at Reddit Mavericks. Ruben Tomas, how are you feeling this time of night? This is a different time for us normally.
It's a very... Dude, we're recording like 12 hours late. But I'm good. I'm on vacation, just chilling. Decided to, you know, do the podcast while I'm on vacation. No one's mad at all at me
yeah,
for this.
So. Totally. Yes, we're going to ignore the desires of your partner at the moment. Yep. So with us today, we got a special guest, one of the best kept secrets in the Twitterverse, Dirk Nowitzki's evil doppelganger, Squish41. What delightful hell have you been up to, sir?
Hey, baby. just drinking it in, man.
Yeah, drinking in this
diet soda pre-agency. Got the job done, but it wasn't as good as regular soda.
Right, yeah, right. It's just like, well, okay, it's the last thing in the fridge. We'll take it.
It's the last thing.
this off season has definitely kicked off, kind of like the hiss of popping open a Diet Coke, where it's like, oh, this seems interesting. Pretty good. I'm personally excited about the Mavericks moves. They have disregarded height, which, you know, as a short person, I love. I love that they've said, you know what, size doesn't matter, and we're going to have two freakishly tall people amongst a sea of 6'7" people. It's going to be great. I'm really excited about it. What I am referring to is, of course, through the draft and free agency, and actually – I guess we haven't really signed many people. I guess the only sign we had was Mesa Wundu. I know his name's not Mace, but I'm going to only call him that.
Yeah, that's such a good nickname too.
Mace Wundu.
Yeah. So from the Orlando Magic, I did not watch enough Magic basketball to see what this guy played. So I wish I could...
Cauley Stein.
And Trey Burke. Re-signing guys, I just don't count as free agents.
Oh, they're re-signing.
Yeah, I'm following now. Yes, I ultimately, like free agency, I'm just like, all right, who did we acquire that we did not previously have? retaining guys to me is not that exciting, but it's good. I'm glad that we retained both Willie Cauley-Stein and Trey Burke. And of course, the plethora of 6'7" people we got. Which is super exciting. We got Josh Green, number 18th overall, Tyler Bay, 6'7" dude out of Colorado. Some really, really intriguing picks. Squish, what was your first reaction after the draft in like the first couple of days of the offseason?
It's a lot of wings. I love it.
Pluckers. We got ourselves a whole bunch of wings.
We became a Pluckers almost overnight. It's
we
great.
Really fucking
I was sad to see Seth go. There are no better 3-point shooters in the land, but when he's not hitting his shots, he offers very little otherwise. Yeah. So to bring in some guys that might be able to stop people, that's a new thing we haven't seen in about 8-10 years.
I know, so it was like it's been a while.
Pretty
since
exciting.
We've,
can and we it got even better. It was like, oh, Josh Richardson,
yeah,
oh, Australian guy. I'm not that familiar with college basketball, but no, Josh Green, and looking at highlights of him for a good 30 minutes and seeing the, I hate the term motor. You know, he's got a great motor.
That's like lateral quickness.
Buddy got a motor, though. Like, he was full court, like, I've wrestled alligators. Like, wow. Like, no, crocodiles. You're crocodiles.
Would you say he has the right qualifications?
He does have the right qualifications, Don Denny. I don't know what this accent is. Crikey, I'm sticking with it. Yeah.
I think he'll play right away.
I think he gets good bench minutes if he shows up and has a good camp, but
a good quick camp.
The Ringer wrote up, we can't forget about Tyrell Terry.
Dude, that's the guy that hopefully I think I'm most excited about.
The heir to the Terry name in a Mavs uni.
He's also drafted 31.
Which is just weird, poetic, right?
Bro.
Yeah, very poetic. But a lot of people think he's the steal of the draft.
The Ringer
even wrote an article that night saying that very thing. So
yeah, I think Kevin O'Connor was like hype about it on Twitter.
You know, totally. He can shoot the piss out of it.
Yeah.
Like James Johnson can
beat the shit.
the piss out of some MMA. And
sure.
Porzingis can tingus. Can learn. Piss out of some pingus, whatever that means.
I'm excited. You heard it here first, folks.
I'm excited.
Back to Tyrell Terry. So what's super cool, so almost every website lists that dude as 6'2", or like 6 foot even. And apparently, or according to like the gym prep video, so I mean, like, I don't know what the official measurements are, but like this guy, like the main knock on him was that he was like 6 foot and 150. To put that into context, in the NBA, there wasn't a guy that was under 170 that played like more than like 30 minutes or whatever. So what's amazing is like basically from when he went to Stanford. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he went to Stanford, he came in 6 foot 150. He is now standing at 6'3", 170, which is insane. Like that's just like 20 pounds of muscles in about a year is.
It's like, a lot.
That is a difference maker, but also like he's looking like an NBA player, not just like a scrawny kid that just happens to shoot threes.
He put on 20 pounds of muscle, right?
20 pounds of muscle and across the board, everyone says that he is one of the smartest basketball people in the draft, just understands the game. And when you talk to him about it, it's very clear that he went to Stanford, not so much like, you know, oh yeah, I put the ball in the hoop. Like this guy understands.
Yeah, he knows. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, with that increased height as well, it's like, all right, cool. This dude's now like actual point guard. Like it's not like the typical Mavericks downfall of us loving short tryhards. Like as much as I love JJ Barea, I love you so much. And you know, Devin Harris, and one could even say Jason Terry to an extent as far as his defensive limitations. It's cool to see like, all right, cool, they got a young core that's coming in here, and they also got a boatload of undrafted free agents that we will talk about later. So
the wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams shredding their stuff. You might not be able to make a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and even coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Before we go off the rails any further than we already do, we are going to just jump into questions because most of them we're going to be addressing. So we're not even going to do segments. We're just going to jump right into questions talking about what you guys want to hear. So what do we got first?
All right, first one comes from Grace. A good friend, Grace, asks, not even like NBA related, really, but actually, yeah, kind of a little bit.
Which is rare for her, you know.
Yeah. Why do you always ask questions when I'm not fully sober? Uh-huh. Also, hi, can you tell Reddit Mavs GF? I love her. I'll let her know later. And also, are you going to a game if they open to a percentage capacity?
I mean, I'd love to, but like from what I gather, it sounds like you would have to get tested at the facility. Yeah. That seems to be like the main. That's what I am hearing. My inside sources tell me that the biggest like financial hurdle that a lot of NBA teams are facing for opening up to even a limited capacity is the cost of testing. What would it be like? So like the AAC is like 20K max capacity, give or take. So they're looking at, I think the percentage is like 5,000. So they're doing like 25% capacity. So that's people spread out, whatever.
Yeah.
But 5,000 tests, they all take 15 minutes. Like it would be tricky, but they're looking to do it at least the right way, I think. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm willing to get an ice pick in the nose to watch my Mavericks play this year, but you know, I might do it. Yeah, I'm down for the good old frontal lobotomy so I can watch some Luka play.
Yeah. No, ma'am. Oh,
Let's go, Lavs.
I'm not so sure if I even, like, I don't know, dude. It just seems like things are clearly getting worse in Texas. I don't know if y'all saw, but.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yesterday we had 2K cases in one day, which is like not good.
See it firsthand every weekend.
Well, yeah, so. I mean, whenever you're not doing your evil deeds, contrary to whatever charity Dirk Nowitzki's doing, you're doing plotting an organization to make it worse.
I'm tying Knicks fans to railroad tracks, waiting for a train to come by.
Just twirling your mustache.
I pull them away at the last second, then show them a bad tweet I wrote about them.
But yeah, I don't know if I'm gonna go. I'm still on the fence about it. My profession has me, you know, being face to face with kids all day.
Sure.
So I'm already kind of exposed already. So I don't know.
Already ending the day covered in slime.
Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see. So, yeah. Are you gonna go Squish at all?
If the Mav DeLorean will let me borrow his armor.
Ah, yes. Very good. Shout out to that guy.
That's a great account. I wish I had thought of.
That's such a good name too. That dude hit on that one.
And that's a very good Halloween costume for somebody.
Absolutely. let's see. Next question comes from Micah. And this is clearly asked after the free agency today. Sure. But if KP gets hurt again, does Luka go around and say, "What the fuck? We should have done better in free agency"?
Sorry. I'm imagining, I don't know why my brain went to that. Have you seen that SNL skit where Andy Samberg is Mark Wahlberg?
Yes.
I'm imagining that, but it's Luka bending over talking to KP's knee. What the fuck, knee? I don't know. Anyway, I'm a cartoon. What was the question?
Do you think that Luka looks around and is like, "What the fuck," and says that we should have done more?
Well, here's something that I want to express explicitly to all Mavericks fans. Free agency hasn't worked for us unless you count the max contracts to Harrison Barnes. Like, we have not got or Wes Matthews, for that matter. Like, we cannot look back at those high-dollar contracts and be like, yes, that brought us wins. I mean, it brought us some scrappiness. It brought us some very, like, professional, like, awesome people that I'm glad have money now, because now they're going to be, like, I don't know if Harrison Barnes signs another contract that's going to be anywhere close to that. And we're already seeing Wes Matthews bounce around the league under minimum contracts now, post his Achilles injury. So who are we thinking we're getting? Like, and when I'm hearing people ask, like, you know, should we have been more aggressive in free agency? It's like, well, do you remember what happened when we went all in for Dwight Howard and Deron Williams? You know, it's like that's ultimately what set us back however many years and pretty much pissed away Dirk's last prime years. Like, we didn't even give, like, the opportunity to defend our 2011 championship. So, now granted, that was 10 years ago. Most of the people that are on Twitter right now weren't born then. So, I don't know. That's my issue, is that, like, yes, who are we getting that in free agency that they think is really going to move the needle for us? Is it spending $15 million a year on Serge Ibaka? I don't know. Like, I know that's not what he got for LA, but, like, that's what we probably would have to pay in order to swing him away from LA, which seems to be a place that people will work for free to go there. Like, and or be Dwight Howard and just decide he wants to go to Philly all of a sudden.
That was weird. The whole thing was so weird.
The weirdest swerve I can remember.
Don't stop honestly, being Dwight Howard.
Just Jesus Christ. Keep Dwight's gonna Dwight, man. That was great. Second best Dwight. That was great. It wasn't even for like a greener pasture either. It's just a weird choice. Because he's a weird dude.
I have no idea.
Well, and he's going back to fucking the GM. That's former.
It just.
Daryl Morey, bro.
Yeah, he's going back to Morey that did not like him. Like,
it's like he's like, I'm just going to go back to the Lakers and repeat. And Daryl's like, we got cheesesteak over here. Oh, shit, I'm on my way. I've never had one before. Fuck it.
So,
wait,
so
you have to tell me this steak has cheese in it?
There's a steak? It's got a cheese it? A cheese it in it?
So in a similar vein, another guy, Keaton, asked something.
I still had thoughts on that question.
Sorry.
Do you?
Sorry.
Okay.
Just a thought I had while Don was talking.
Which was a lot.
looking at, and we love it. Looking at free agency though, I just, you know, guys have to want to come to your team too. Mm-hmm. And looking at it, from a biased lens, right? You're a Mavs fan. We know how good Luka is, but it's not Luka's league yet. So you've got these guys. Take a 35-year-old Marc Gasol, for example. That's like, oh shit, I can go to Dallas. Luka's really good. I can go to LA to play with LeBron James, who has already won multiple championships and has Anthony Davis. That's more of a sure thing if I'm trying to compete. That's just one example. It's not Luka's league yet. It's coming. And I think Luka knows his time is coming. So do I think if KP gets hurt, he's going to look at the front office and be like, what the fuck, guys? No one's in control of KP's knees, except for the basketball gods. You know, I don't think he's going to be mad because we all know how good KP is when he gets to play. So like we did what we could.
Have we?
I don't think we know enough about what we were trying to do for us to sit here and be like, we didn't try hard enough. You know,
have we considered some sort of sacrifice to the basketball gods in order to keep KP's knees healthy? Do we know anybody that we can do some sort of seance or
I need to look into that actually.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. Rube's on that. That's great. Glad we got IT on that for our goat sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever sacrifice that lets DJ Augustine go off on the Mavs all the time. We need that, but that applies yes. for a whole season against all teams for all of our players.
Anyway. So in the similar vein, Keaton also asked, you know, he sees teams like the Lakers and Warriors, you know, aggressive during free agency and, you know, and it's tender results and wins, you know, like, so he's asking why wouldn't we follow that upward, that trend as well?
It doesn't help that, or it does help that they also arguably have one of the top three players in the league right now, much to what Squish was saying earlier, that it's not Luka's league yet. Luka is very good and is projected to be potentially better if he keeps up at the clip that he's at right now. Mm-hmm. But this idea, well, and also what people need to realize specifically about Dallas, it's like Texas isn't a destination. It's not, like, as much as I love Dallas and it feels more and more like home every time I come back to it from Austin, but there's not the media hype, there's not the celebrity benefits that LA or New York have to offer. Like, there's a reason that KD's in Brooklyn. It's not because, it's really not even because of Brooklyn so much as it was like, I can establish my brand in a different way and have more access to business ventures. And like, it's not that that's not capable in Dallas, and like Mark Cuban would bend over backwards to get any decent NBA star here. But I think we've realized that, like, all right, we need to grow for where we have more control over the situation, be it through the draft and through trades. And I think we're doing an amazing job. Sorry. And not to mention, like, I think we've just completely switched out a culture of very passive players that were pretty good offensively to some tough motherfuckers. Like, I love that we have swapped up Josh Jackson, who is pretty much like, he has the defensive tenacity of a paper towel. Josh Jackson. We got Josh Jackson and we just shipped him away without even signing him. It was disrespectful. It was awful. Justin Jackson, my mistake. Seth Curry, who's a fantastic three-point shooter, but about it, and like does mean faces because Paul George did something TMZ. I don't care. And then we got away with DeLon Wright, who's about as he is a passive point guard that does okay defensively, sort of.
Yeah.
And now we've got Josh Richardson that loves getting in somebody's grill. We got the black belt that is James Johnson. And we've got a bunch of kids that, I don't know, they got some fight in them. And I'm excited about that culture change. And I think if we were going to improve anything, we did it the right way. We didn't dismantle our front five of or our best five players. We got our bench stronger and made our rotation more interesting. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I don't think that the Luka's looking around like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know. That's,
and just overall,
I'm so sorry.
Overall, though, as a fan of the team, we didn't take a step backwards. And that is a bare minimum of what you could ask for. But our biggest...
We do love taking setbacks, though.
We do. We need a big. Cauley-Stein, with more Rick Carlisle time, and, you know, with all the work he was showing off putting it, like, I'm very intrigued. I don't think that was a bad fallback, but I do have more thoughts on that for later, because I don't necessarily think it was a fallback. But we've got defensive-minded wings that can shoot the ball, and if we know anything about the quote-unquote Luka effect, is those dudes are going to be wide open a lot, and they're going to shoot the ball a lot better than they did. And it's not even – there's so much flexibility with our lineups. It's going to be really exciting to see what the rookies do, because I think that's going to dictate how the depth chart pans out. Yeah, I think that I think Josh Richardson is coming for Hardaway's minutes. I really do. I think that people are going to be surprised that James Johnson sees a lot of run at the power forward and is probably going to take minutes away from people like Dwight Powell, for example, because he's coming off an Achilles tear.
Yeah.
We just have so many different looks. But the fact that we can throw Luka out at the one and be 6'6" or taller across the board is
like everybody
damn just cool. Like I wouldn't be shocked if Trey Burke is the only actual PG on the roster that gets a significant amount of playing time for the most part during the season, depending on how people show up to camp and how good the rookies are and all that stuff. So, yeah, I think Luka's happy with how things are going, all things considered, yeah.
Let's see. Next question comes from Jennifer. She asked, anything you didn't like about the Mavs draft and trades?
Let's see. I mean, to be honest, no. I think it's all a lot of low-risk, high-reward stuff.
What I'm feeling, too. Yeah.
Definitely. No complaints. I'll tell you what stung was the Bane movement, right? We all thought
Bane. That was my
and
one.
And then in the most Mavs way ever, we get trolled in the pick before. Like, I knew as soon as the trade was happening, it's like the Grizzlies were checking Twitter. Like, oh, wait, that's who the Mavs are getting? No. And we recovered nicely because then you get Tyler Bay, who could be something. He was was Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Year in college.
No, we got Tyrell Terry.
Tyrell Terry was 31st. Yep.
I'm saying we got the pick.
Right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
From the trade.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a great fallback. I was like, wow, I feel really good all of a sudden.
Yeah. I mean, dude, I would grade like our draft as an A, probably an A+.
Capital A.
You know, I would grade free agency. And the only thing about free agency really like for us here is that we didn't have any money, you know? We had like the mid-level exception. That was kind of it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, our hands were kind of tied, you know, financial-wise this year. Next year's a different story. But this year, you know, like what we did with that, you know, was pretty fucking good. You know, like, yeah, we got to re-sign Willie. We re-signed Trey Burke. Like, those are, you know, just easy, like low-risk moves for us, you know?
Mm-hmm. I also thought Trey Burke outplayed DeLon Wright, and he outplayed numerous times Seth Curry. And so there's a bunch of guys that I thought ultimately were underperforming, and we've got in new guys that at the very least are personality just surges of energy. The only to add on what you're saying, like, I guess the only thing that I would want to maybe change, I mean, I still love Presser Achiuwa, and I'm excited about Josh Green. I think he's going to be a fun player. Our wing rotation is now so deep. I don't know if he breaks out and he gets more minutes. I haven't seen enough tape on him to like judge it one way or the other. He does seem like a significantly better shooter than Achiuwa. So that was the one, like that across the board, the only thing that Achiuwa doesn't do well, he just doesn't shoot well. He doesn't shoot free throws well. He doesn't shoot threes well. Like, so that's, I just wanted the precious. And also I learned the jewel of the draft was hearing the rest of his siblings' names.
Have you heard that? Oh yes.
So real quick, Precious, Achiuwa. Yeah. It's actually the first thing that comes up is siblings. They are God's gift, God, promise, grace, and peace.
I love it.
No, there's God's gift and God's will. Can you imagine being on Tinder where you're just like, hi, my friends call me God for short. Like, are you kidding me? God's will is my full name.
That sounds like one of those bad church billboards. Swipe right on God.
Oh, Jesus.
Do you super like God?
Super like the Lord.
There's some of those, like going down 35. So
I think we just described ChristianMingle.com.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Let's see. Next question. So Tall Traveler asked two questions.
Sure.
First one being, what is the meaning of life?
42.
Maxie. 41. I was saying, like,
damn, God, that is better. Okay, did I say this on the pod once about A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Why the answer for life is 42?
No.
So it's kind of cool. So this is a little bit more insightful than me just seemingly being a dick and saying a number. So 42 was something that Douglas Adams used in like this very like old computer computing language. And 40, the computing language that he was typing in, they didn't have a character for an asterisk. It didn't work in the coding language. So they would use the numbers 42, which would mean an asterisk. And an asterisk would be like whatever they're putting it in the formula, it would mean whatever you want it to be. So it was literally like a blank space. Okay. So when someone says like, what is the meaning of life? They say 42. There's actually a little bit more depth to it, which I thought was really
whatever
sweet.
Whatever you want to be. Okay.
There you go.
Cool. Very nice. Okay. Second question. This is for me. Oh, shit. Do you ever stop and think about some of your silly ass tweets and how Mark Cuban might see them because he follows you?
Okay. Really quick. Have you been tweeting ass tweets and why haven't I seen them? Okay.
No, those are for later.
Those are for the misses.
Yeah.
Those are for misses Reddit Max.
Yeah. So when he first followed me, like he actually followed me on Christmas Day, which was like fucking crazy, but
sure.
And I was actually with like my future, you know, in-laws, like hanging out with them, and I was like, I had to go to the bathroom because I had to check, and I was like, oh shit, like it's like someone told me, like, Mark Cuban followed you. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I had to go check. But, I mean, I don't really have any, I don't know. Like, he sees my tweets, whatever. Like, he follows quite a number of people already. Like, I don't think he has any muted, though, because he will like some of them on occasion. I'm like, oh, shit, he liked this. I mean, it's not going to change who I am, like, as a Twitter account. Like, I'm going to tweet what I tweet, you know? There's only one person on Twitter that could ever make me like change like the language I use, and you know she hasn't told me not to. So you know, that's right. Dorothy Gentry, by the way. Only okay. person on Twitter where I'd be like, if she told me she was disappointed in me, I'd feel so bad because she's like Mav Twitter's mom. So like,
well, shout out to Dorothy.
I love Dorothy, but yeah, no, I don't really. No, I know. I you know it doesn't really faze me if he likes to teach. Right, He's a guy worth billions. That's all he is. So, you know.
He's only responsible for the reason that we're doing this entire podcast.
Exactly. That's it. That's not, you know, no pressure whatsoever on that. So.
If Martin followed me, I would just check my spelling more. That would just be it. I am so terrible at it. We're like autocorrect. I'm just like, oh, here's a funny thought. And it's just like, oh, yeah, that just sounds like just, yeah, word salad.
He'd mute Squish.
If he followed, he's there's no way he doesn't have me muted. I will have you know, half of my existence for like the first 2-3 years that I was on Twitter was talking shit to Rockets fans and trolling Cubes about not drafting Giannis. There's no way. He would tweet about something completely off topic, I'd be like, hey, remember that time you didn't draft Jonas?
And, you know, and guys, there's a chance that he may be on the pod sometime in the future. So okay. we'll definitely get Squish on there just to talk to him one-to-one and see.
We cannot pull a Jerry Springer on Mark Cuban.
It's all good natured. Obviously, you haven't really talked better now.
You haven't really gone on him anymore.
I've never disliked Mark Cuban, but there was that. You know, when you got good friends, you goof and your friends roast you for it. That's all that was.
I see. Yeah, it's just been a good-natured roasting on Squish.
That's a fucking exactly. PR
that's
answer.
That's all too. It is. It's good-natured until you start. Until you start bragging about one of my team's players being injured, okay. Then it's not good-natured.
No. I would shit a brick with my fist if I saw a fucking Squish. like we're talking to Mark Cuban, one of the people, like one of my role models of like someone that I follow his financial advice for my own personal finance, like, and it's helped me. Like someone that's been a very big part of my life. And I'm just like, okay, you know that guy that's been roasting you for about the last 10 years on Twitter? Well, he's with us too. So, he's the father. Like, it's like a grand reveal. I would not know how to handle that. It's like, okay, I'll never talk to this man again.
I'll put it this way. I've always loved Mark Cuban, even before I understood who or what Mark Cuban was, just as a concept, because my mother used to do the concessions with her dance studio, because you could do that and like fundraise.
Yeah,
and he'd always come by and be very nice to them. So I've always known Mark Cuban, the nice guy, before I knew. Oh, he owns the Mavs. Oh,
he owns the fucking team. I love. Oh, wow. Like, let's see. Next question comes from James. Very tame question this week, by the way, dude.
James,
he asked, "If you could be the patron saint of anything, of something, what would it be?" So that's a Catholic thing, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, eating an entire pizza in one sitting.
So dedicated to the exact, like, one of the seven deadly sins of gluttony. That's
exactly, yeah.
The patron saint of gluttony. I'm gonna be the patron saint of envy, or I don't know.
Where would Twitter trolling fall under?
Oh, Jesus. That would be a deadly sin.
I would nominate Squish for being the patron saint of trolling.
Oh yeah.
The patron saint of trolling. I accept.
Trolling one specific fan base.
You better update your Twitter bio now.
I'm doing it. If you're listening, check. You can hold me to it.
What would be yours?
Here we go.
Ruben.
Let's see. I would probably be the patron saint of not getting a hangover.
That is helpful,
because I haven't had a hangover in like 6 years now. So
it's also like
I'd be the patron saint of merging. Like, just I'm so good at letting
just merging like lanes.
Yeah, merging lanes. Okay. Like it's like, wow, I didn't have to like brake hard or like speed up. This guy was perfect. He gave me the right amount of space.
Wow,
that guy was so good at merging. It's also like just dependent on everyone around me, so it would null my actions.
Jesus. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Mav's Facebook. Oh, Jesus. I love this guy. I love you so much. I will eventually make my way to Kentucky. We can have some bourbon together, but until then.
Let's do it.
He said that realistically, how long do you think you all could last in the cage against James Johnson?
I don't know. How fast is a punch? It's like a 0.5 second. I don't know.
Bro, give me like 5 seconds.
I can't.
Like four seconds of me talking shit and just one just me being on the floor. Like,
yeah, okay, yeah. I didn't take into consideration like the possibility of me pulling like a full bone saw and just taunting him for 2 minutes just before he ends my life. Like,
yeah, like I just
listen here, James. Listen here, James.
Fucking them out.
2 minutes of playtime.
Because a round is what? Two minutes, right? That's what it is?
Yeah, I couldn't.
Two, three minutes. I think two like that, but I don't watch MMA. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
But,
human cockfighting.
Probably about 5 seconds. What do you think, Squish?
What happened?
What? Oh, you're just changing his bio. Anyway, how long could you last in the cage against James Johnson?
Hmm.
Oh, no.
Well, Don's like, how long is a punch? Like, what move is he going with? Do I get to know?
I think he's a grappler, I think. I don't know.
A grappler?
No,
but there was an article that said that he did a spinning heel kick to the
rim. Okay, he's maybe a kicker then. I don't know, bro.
James Johnson fighting style.
Bro, bro, I definitely tried to look this up before. I couldn't find shit.
He's karate, and he is also undefeated in 7 MMA matches as well as 20 kickboxing.
Jesus, dude.
Oh my god! Yeah, no.
What an animal! I'm gonna say, I don't know how long this would take in real time, but I'm imagining it like those Roadrunner kind of Wile E. Coyote cartoons where Wile E. Coyote looks both ways to cross the street, and the second he's even remotely in the street, just gets flattened.
Yes.
Just right there.
It'd be like that, but a 6'9" guy's foot.
Oh, Jesus. God damn, I suck at it. Okay.
Did you guys see the slap boxing thing of him and Serge Ibaka? There's like a moment where they like got in a tussle, and like it's like it looks like a scene from Dragon Ball Z where they're just like shadow boxing. It's like not a single punch was landed, but it was close. Like it was.
I sat there doing the like heavy anime breathing.
Hey, I love that. That's my favorite part of this.
He's lucky he didn't fight Mountain Dew Ibaka. I'm gonna call back to my own joke.
Tony, so Grant posted a GIF. He posted a GIF of just like some kid asking, have you ever had dreams that you had? What the fuck?
Yeah, it's like, no, that's like a, no, no, that's no. Like a, that's like an old internet meme. Of
is
like,
it?
Dude, yeah, it's like this little kid that can't quite finish a question, but whatever. It eventually ends up as a question. So I have had dreams and they're of Grant.
Thank you, Grant. Love you, bud.
Yeah.
Let's see. Next question comes from a Tony Pollard Stan account. Great. He had a great game today, actually.
Sure did.
How would you feel about a D-Rose trade? No, thank you.
That's what that was. I was like, Dro's trade, like...
No, D-Rose.
Like, Dro's.
I was like Andro's, like... No. I did not know what it was. I was like, is that Drowsy? Like, is he trading us his Drowsy in Pokemon?
What's no, that's D-Rose.
Trade for Drowsy.
A D-Rose... I just don't see D-Rose on this team. It doesn't... Like, when we have...
Now.
I look at D Rose as like slightly better Trey Burke, and I'd rather have Trey Burke.
At this juncture.
Yeah, I don't see the difference at this juncture with what we saw at him in the bubble in the playoffs.
Well, and also just like
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe a D Rose stand is gonna come at me for that, but Trey Burke was real damn good.
I'm really happy that D Rose is still in the league and still producing in starters minutes for arguably one of the worst teams in the league. And I don't know. I mean, I see they've maybe built a team around him. I don't quite understand what's going on in Detroit right now. They got a lot of draft picks in what was considered a pretty weak draft. So they were just doubling down on like, we just need youth and get Luke Kennard out of here. And so, all right. So I guess DeRose is the guy. DeRose.
Sorry, that's just what I was gonna say.
That's the next question comes right. From.
His arch nemesis is D Columns.
Stop.
I'm trying to drink water.
All right, next question comes from Weasley. He asked, if you were a free agent and could be signed to your favorite company/brand, what company/brand would it be and for what? I like to sign with Coors for doing yard work, handyman stuff around the house. That's a good one.
Well, I think we already know the answer, and that's...
Hey guys, just a reminder, football is in full effect, and BetOnline is doing everything they can to make sure you get in on every imaginable prop this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up opportunities. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. Support for the Hoops and Hefeweizens podcast comes from Manscaped, who's the best in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. I like that rhyme there. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Mercy. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. Thank God for that. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I am talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Likely pun intended, Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has a proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. Guys, don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. The Perfect Package also comes with a pair of Manscaped boxers that will keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those old, overused pair of boxers to Manscaped high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, or your friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you.
What brand? I guess like Nike. I love Nike a lot.
That was my thought. I was like Nike, but I don't know. I thought it'd be... I don't want another man's body as my logo. You know, that's my one knock against Jordan.
I'm trying to think of something that's not even like NBA adjacent. So something weird.
I don't know, something fun like, you know, Hyundai, something reliable and cost efficient.
I'd like to be sponsored by Roku.
Roku?
Okay. Roku. You know, just like, just send me free shit. Like,
you know what? Like some, like I think like Lagavulin would be badass. Like a really nice scotch. Like it's like scotch doesn't sponsor anybody unless they've already made their money. Like they don't pick like an up and comer. They already pick like guys like Nick Offerman or Pacquiao, yeah, or somebody. It's like,
yeah.
Some guy that's already made his career.
Squish, what would you pick?
I would be sponsored by New Zealand.
The fucking country New Zealand.
The country of New Zealand.
And what would you get out of that?
He would get New Zealand.
Quality time in New Zealand, baby.
Nice. Love it.
Hang out with the Prime Minister and shit. Hey, yeah, did you see this tweet?
Hang out at Lord of the Rings sets. You know?
Yeah.
Chilling, you get to hang out in Mordor.
Chilling Hobbiton. My own little room there.
All right, let's see. Next question comes from the Don Luca. He asks, how valuable do you think Tyler Bay's defensive abilities will be for us this year?
Very.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. Yeah, I mean, like, again, like, we drafted or traded for a lot of defensive-minded dudes, and he's probably one of those as well. And,
man, you
know, he's gonna earn those fucking minutes.
Yo, his highlights were my favorite just because, again, I never know anything about the college guys other than – like the lottery drafts, I really dig in. I'm like, all right, who do I need to be paying attention to? Mm-hmm. But looking up his highlights, I just watching some of the nasty defensive sequences he had and just the rim protection, his freaking stretch arms, strong arms. Like, I was like,
he's 6'7", he has like a 7'2" wingspan. Something.
Yeah, it's insane.
He's a knuckle dragger.
I mean, his instincts, everything. I was just sitting there thinking, please be good in the NBA. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Please be good in the NBA. And I hope he is. How crazy would it be if we had three really good rookies? Jesus, like, dude. Could it be? Could it happen?
It could happen.
It's exciting.
Tyler Bay broke the max vertical record at the draft combine. So,
holy shit.
Really?
That's something to throw at you.
I just feel like that record would be constantly broken, like, from now on. Just like, as just guys are just bigger freaks. Like, you know, like every year, I'm sure someone's
like leapfrog with a annual or long break.
Just a pogo stick with arms.
Okay, let's see. Next question comes from Chris Lopez.
What's up, Chris?
I know, I love the dude. Anyway, he says, now that we have a black belt karate badass on the team with Dan Johnson and a badass in general, Luca, will Mark Cuban and the Mouse petition to get the ninja style headbands unbanned?
I don't know if we can unlock that prowess. I think that's probably too dangerous for the league.
I know, dude. I don't know, bro. There's a bunch of ninjas on our fucking team.
I think it would just at some point an entire team would be nothing but those headbands.
But goddamn, dude, I love those headbands so much.
I enjoyed them as
They're so fucking cool. But I want them back. But I understand the reason why they took them away, but still, it's just I want them
Why
back.
Did they take them away?
I think they thought like people would, like, grab him, you know, or like, you know, it would get tangled up.
And, like, why not wait until that happens before you're like, take the fun thing away?
I don't fucking know, dude.
Answer me.
Well, because then James Johnson's gonna wear, he's gonna wear like one of those spiked ball and chains on top.
Yeah, James Johnson puts on a ninja headband, it's over.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, they're just like, it's like, it's the same reason we can't let it's the same reason we couldn't let Dennis Rodman smoke on the court. It would be too cool.
He'd be too zoned in.
Have you seen that man talk after a drag? He's unstoppable.
Snagging a rebound in one hand, smoking a cigarette in the other.
So it's funny. So like, so this question came up, right? And then the Orlando Magic Reddit account replied and said, would you guys be interested in Fournier, who is trained in judo, to complete your Power Ranger squad?
It's going to be a terrifying looking Zordon, though.
I know, dude.
Megazord, sorry. Zordon's the Rick Carlisle is technically our Zordon.
Yeah, Zordon's the guy in the head, like the head, right? In the
Razors.
Oh my god, so fucking weird. Anyway, no, I don't want Fournier now. So no, thank you. Orlando Magic Reddit, we're not training anybody. Give us Eric Gordon though.
Eric Gordon?
No, Aaron Gordon.
I would take Fournier. That's just me.
I don't know. I
don't know what we need him for, but he can hang out.
Oh, you mean for the podcast?
Seems like a cool dude.
Just hang out, okay. All right, let's see. Next question comes from Dave. He asks, why do I love Willie Cauley-Stein so much?
Because he's the closest we have to Rodman.
He's honestly, he seems like a cool-ass dude, man. Like,
yeah, he seems real nice.
You know, like, his social media presence is really cool. Like, he always has, like, these really cool... really cool, like, videos with, like, cool music and just, like, the production values are really, really fucking good.
Yeah, good vibes. Does what he needs to do. You
know? He likes
anime.
Seems
to be working hard.
You know, he's cool with me.
Guy.
So, yeah. I don't know why people wouldn't like him, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe, like, obviously, like, this will be, like, his first year, like, first full year, like, under a Rick Carlisle system. And
under a good NBA head coach.
Yeah, you know, yeah, under a good NBA head coach, you know?
And Steve Kerr's good, but Golden State was tanking. Doesn't count,
right?
Yeah,
I will say that he's kind of like the weird like love child of like JaVale McGee and Birdman Anderson, just spliced it to a person, and just like that's kind of his game. That's kind of how I've looked at it. Just rim runner, you know, block some shots.
Yeah,
fine.
This be a good time to finish my Cauley-Stein point from earlier.
What's that?
Yeah.
One. This is an aside. Just because we're talking about, I think him as the player, there's still some untapped potential there that maybe we'll see. And even if we don't, he serves a purpose, because if Powell's not right, we still got Willie Cauley-Stein for that
pick and
athletic role, man. You know, Rick needs that. So cool. Good stuff. But I think that, because everyone's like, oh, we signed Cauley-Stein. I honestly think he was always going to be coming back.
I felt
no matter who we signed.
Yeah.
Because if you think back to October, I think a Mark Stein article talking about something Cauley-Stein had said on a podcast. And now he bought a house in Dallas. He's chilling in Dallas, like whatever.
It
kind of seemed like he was waiting to see what happened. And so were we. And then it's like, all right, we'll sign you for this much. Cool. Sounds good, dude. I'm cool. I'm just hanging out. You know. I'm Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm really chill. But I think he was always coming back.
Yeah.
Even if we got Gasol. I don't know why, but it just kind of seemed like
he came back
that way. Yeah, it kind of seemed like that was a done deal beforehand. That's just my opinion, but I'm good with it. I think that was we needed that. We needed something.
Next question comes from DirkFan87. He asks, question, over under 1.5 rounds it would take James Johnson to knock out Marcus Morris. This is for Squish.
Repeat that beautiful question. All I heard was knock out Marcus Morris.
Okay. Over under 1.5 rounds for James Johnson to knock out Marcus Morris.
Under?
Under?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think Morris is just a guy that's like a good pest that just likes being like it just the perfect example of like the schoolyard bully that's like in every like children's cartoon that's just like just a little bit taller and just like, you know, messing them around and just be like, you're not really cool, and then like they can get actually get decked and start crying. So I don't know. I
think he's tough till someone tougher pops him in the mouth.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's me. I don't want to fight Marcus Morris. He's too tall.
Absolutely not.
But James Johnson fighting Marcus Morris?
Yeah, I'll put money on James.
He's literally a human weapon. It wouldn't take long. He would be ground beef in 30 seconds.
His nickname is fucking Bloodsport, bro. Like,
you don't fight a guy whose nickname is Bloodsport. Yeah, expect to be standing 10 to 15 seconds after that, adventure begins.
Take care of yourself. Like, don't do that. Our next question comes from a very interesting at Carlisle's Burner. Do y'all need an intern / blog writer / content and social guy? And it's signed off from Rick.
Sometimes something tells me that this might not really be Rick Carlisle.
It might not be, but you know.
Yeah, sure. I don't think Rick's hurting for an internship.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
He's pretty gainfully employed right now. Yeah,
at the moment.
But, if he ever gets fired, sure, he could.
Yeah. I think we are going to be looking into, like, adding some more people to the roster coming up pretty soon when it comes to, like, writing stuff mostly.
Especially during the season.
Yeah, and, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, jumping on the podcast and stuff like that. But we'll get back to you. We'll talk to the editor-in-chief, Bryce, about that, so. See, next question comes from Luca Dumfick. You fucking assholes and y'all's great names.
Love it. I love it.
What unsigned, undrafted players, would you like to see the Mavs offer a two-way contract to? I'm high on Caleb Weston coming out of OSU.
Well, dude, I think that's already been kind of answered for us, because I think they just signed like three rookie free agents or undrafted free agents, I'm not mistaken. We got Nate Hinton out of Houston, I believe. Mm-hmm. He's kind of a rangy guard kind of guy. Seems to be a pretty, like, more of a defensive specialist.
Dude's a fucking dog, though, man. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Panda Hank showed me his highlights, and it was just like him just like aggressively taking away boards from people and just like, throwing his body into like careless, you know, just like careless abandon. So
we got a sort of, I guess this counts as a local guy, Frederick Gillespie. He's from Baylor, 6'9", 4 kind of guy. Don't know too much about him, but I'm just kind of reading out some things here. And Devontae Patterson, who was in Prairie View A&M. Yep. And I don't know where that's at. Wait, Patterson was homeschooled 2014 when he moved with Neil Hawks, the brother-in-law of Mark Cuban. Oh, wait a minute.
Shit.
Wow. That's
interesting.
This is Wikipedia. Like, at one point they did say that Josh Green was 95 feet tall and 3,000 pounds. It's like, oh my god, he's the size of a truck.
That Luca was the owner of the Houston Rockets.
Got some good edits along the way. I love those edits.
I did. I think my favorite Wikipedia edit ever was what was it? The U.S. soccer goalie. He was temporarily the Secretary of Defense.
Oh, fucking Tim Howard. Yeah, bro. Tim fucking Howard. I love that. I miss that guy. But yeah, I mean, I don't, unfortunately, like, I don't really know too many like undrafted guys. Like, I just, if they're not signed by us or by anybody really, I don't know who they are. I apologize for not really looking into that further.
Following college basketball is like we mentioned this two pods ago, but college basketball is kind of a hard thing to watch. Unless you were like zoning in on a prospect, I think it's just an inferior product of basketball. Like, I'm happy to see kids have those opportunities, and you know, it's cool to see certain guys stand out, but like, there's a reason these highlight videos of scouts are so appealing is because, I mean, God, these are 35 second glimpses of really cool stuff. And then, you know, that's out of how much game film, you know what I mean? Hours and hours of just guys dribbling up, pass to the post, pass back, swing, swing, go to the other post. It's just, man, like traditional basketball still very much exists in college. And yeah, I'm not going to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
Or I watch very little of it before that reason.
Squish, you got anything to add?
I was sad the Doink Nabisco deal fell through. I was the only undrafted prospect I had my own. I guess he's fucked off back to Germany. I don't know.
I guess so. Come to Würzburg, I guess.
Seemed really jazzed about signing. I don't know what happened.
Let's see. Next question comes from Bibbs. I love this fucking question so much. Okay. Bibbs, around the podcast, asks, how much are you paying for a pay-per-view of Marcus Morris versus James Johnson in the Octagon? What's your max? The penalty for anyone streaming or posting clips online is 20 years in prison, no exceptions. So the pay-per-view is the only way you could see the fight.
Oh, okay. I like this. I like the high stakes here.
I know. I was like, damn, dude. Like,
well,
he probably knew that I was going to be like, I would just illegally stream it. But
right. Yeah. Let's say I'll go $20 because that's how much I want to see a single punch. Because that's all it would take.
I'll put $100 on it.
Pondo PPV.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll do it.
What
about you? $200. Damn, $200?
$200.
Holy shit.
Just to see it happen.
Okay, tell you what. I would pay it for $200 if they just showed the replay of him putting his foot on Luca's ankle, like going out of the way to like fuck with his already injured ankle, and then go right into the fight. Okay, if you know what, $200, I'll throw it down. That's
like
fine.
Okay, yeah, okay. $100, $200 around there. Okay, cool.
I do like how basically Mavs Twitter has collectively said, like, finally, no, someone that can punch him in the mouth.
Be 200, right? But 180 of that is going directly into James Johnson's pocket. Because it'd be 20 so I can watch, but the 180, like, I had mailed him with a note that says, make it interesting.
Make it interesting.
So maybe he's, like, revenge wounding him.
Revenge.
No. Let's make it interesting. Like, maybe he stomps on Morris's ankle and slap chops him in the neck a few times. And then really fights him. You know, I don't know.
How come every time Squish is on the pod, there's always just this violent role play of fantastically destroying either a referee or a rival player?
It's what he brings. It's what he brings to the fucking table.
I am the chaos. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry.
We're so...
Let's see.
I'm so appreciative of it. Thank you.
Okay. Amog, let's see. Amog asks, why don't big names want to come to Dallas?
Porzingis is a pretty large name, just character-wise. That's a lot of...
So.
and I think there's Marjanovic, which is pretty large. And we also had Finney Smith.
One quick interjection before some smart ass goes, but we traded for Porzingis. He had to want to stay. And he did.
He re-signed if we want to call that as free agency.
So, I mean, the way I see it right now is that, again, like we talked about earlier, where it's like guys do probably, but they will when Luka is top dog in the NBA. Like, he's not quite there yet, you know, admittedly. And also, like, in the past, like, Dirk was never a guy who, like, wanted to team up with people. Or seemed to, like, he never seemed like he was interested in actually, like, recruiting people here. You know, like, he was never that type of player to really just...
Or he kind of was a guy that just kind of kept to himself for the most part.
Yeah, I
mean, like, he made friends with Nash, but, like, that was definitely more Nash being the extrovert
and
putting the hand forward more than him being like, hey, Steve, we got to take on this world together, whatever.
Yeah.
And I think also part of it is just, this is what the hardest part about having your best player be an international player is that you don't have the decade of AAU ball politics that you've now trained with these guys for years and have been on teams with them and have shared hotel rooms with these guys. And you already have memories with these certain dudes. I mean, that's just not the same as like what, you know, Luka's 17 and playing professional ball over there. You know, that's a different culture.
Yeah. So, you know, I just, you know, I think these two guys, like, you know, apparently, you know, Luka and Josh Richardson didn't like work out together and stuff like that. So he is starting to like kind of plant those seeds of like, hey, like, you should want
to
come here. You know,
I'm willing to bet there's a heavy amount of Luka recruiting people that we won't see in the next year.
Yeah. Especially, yeah.
Going into next summer. Absolutely. Because he knows the deal. He knows.
Like, you know, like, and the NBA has changed, you know, since Dirk was here.
A lot's
like,
changed. Probably. And we've got this reputation for big names not coming here. But if you think, I mean, context matters too. Yes, we went all in and it backfired. At the same time, the people we missed out on, you can make a counterpoint that they went to more attractive destinations. Like Dwight Howard. What was that? He went to Houston that time?
Yes, that's when he went to Houston.
A young, budding James Harden, right? Wasn't that what happened?
Yes.
It didn't work out, but that's right. More attractive than Dirk entering his mid-30s or in his mid-30s.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, they look at market, money, team on the rise. We weren't on the rise. We were pretty good.
We're starting to –
It's more appealing to say, hey, here's a guy entering his prime than – here's a guy exiting his prime, as great as Dirk stayed. Like,
right.
They weren't interested in a torch passing so much as I want prime star next to me.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not discounting Dirk, because in Dallas, we know the deal. Like, we knew if Dirk had a guy, like, he could still get it done. But
absolutely, yeah.
Other players don't think like fans and people that keep track of players and teams.
I think Dirk at one point has – he's one of the best players ever that has not had an additional all-star on his team. I think he sets one of the records for like people that have gotten a championship with the like in his career. Like he has had, I think it's something like five players have been an all-star
at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like, and when they were on the same team as him or something like that, it was like, might have been Terry at one point. Or no, Josh Howard.
Josh Howard was one.
Yeah. That was like one of the only few. And Steve Nash, I think.
I think
that. I don't know if he was an all-star with Dirk.
Nash and Finley were all-stars with Dirk once, I think.
Okay.
Like as a trio. Finley was an all-star more than once, wasn't he?
I don't think so. If he was, I don't recall. I don't believe so. He was an all-star in my eyes, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't know about the eyes of the NBA.
Yeah, it's just the fan-colored glasses.
See, next question comes from Ian. I don't know if I'm saying it right. He says, tag team match. Morris Twins versus James Johnson and Josh Richardson.
Oh, my God. Let's make it interesting. Can it be James Johnson and JJ Barea?
It's still James Johnson, bro. Like,
yeah.
Because it's James Johnson, but I guarantee you Barea could scrap if he had to.
I say
JJ
screw it.
And JJ.
Listen, let's put
the Wonder double JJs.
Put the Wonder Twins against Johnson. I think he can take both down.
I know. I think dude.
A handicap match. No, it's like, Survivor Series.
It's like this question has Josh Richardson, but I'm like, dude, Jay Richards is gonna just like be on the side. Like
that Instagram does sound like a real tag team. Real wrestlers. Yeah, the Morris Twins versus Bloodsport. Live in Hell in the Cell.
No, I got James Johnson, dude.
James Johnson, it doesn't matter. He could have a jar of mayonnaise as a tag team partner. He'd still win.
10 out of 10 times, bro. Let's see. Next question comes from Charles. He asks, while the general thought that Tyrell Terry can replace Seth's offensive production, how close do you think he actually is to reaching that potential as a rookie in Carlisle system?
That's the other thing about some of these rookies. I think with Tyrell, with Terry, he fills an immediate need. And that's pretty much, if you look at Carlisle's record of working with rookies, like he's kind of forced to use them. So you can even go back to when he was coaching the Detroit Pistons. Like he did not play Tayshaun Prince. He was basically forced to because Tayshaun was that good. And like eventually he's like, all right, I got to start giving this guy minutes and start developing him. And so I think that's the reason that I'm more excited about Tyler Terry than I am. Tyrell Terry than Tyler Bay. Or I'm sorry, actually Josh Green, to be perfectly honest. I think Tyler Bay has a more like niche, like, okay, I can see a situation where he needs to be plugged in to be a just a defensive stopper. And then you have Josh Green, like, he seems to do a lot of things well, and he's got some pretty damn awesome athleticism and good measurements, this whole thing. But I think like Tyrell Terry definitely fits in that Seth Curry role, like they mentioned. And I think, I don't know, I'm really excited to see what he can do. And apparently, I mean, guards just do well with Carlisle, with the exception of like what Rondo. Delon Wright didn't really seem to flourish. I don't know. Yeah. I think part of that was just because, you know what, eventually you just got to go to who's playing better. And when JJ Barea at 42 or however old he is playing
what
better.
Is that
than
in, what is that in Hobbit years?
I don't know, like 10?
10.
JJ's 10. Or Jalen Brunson was playing better than him. And, you know, again, another second rounder is doing better than you. I think ultimately it just makes sense that, you know, Carlisle's going to give an opportunity to this. I'm really excited to see where he develops, because it just sounds like the potential's through the roof, and he can already do elite things that guards are expected to do here. Like, I don't want to say, like, again, I think a Seth Curry comparison is pretty apt, as opposed to some people throwing the Steph name around.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he could easily be a Seth swap. Like, if his IQ is what it's supposed to be. There was that article about him breaking a record for an IQ test with several NBA teams, which is crazy. Yeah. Like, highest score ever, broke a record or whatever. But, you know, if that IQ is there and he doesn't have the rookie jitters and that shot's there, I think he's got minutes.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
It's also hard to say how many, but
how often do you hear a scout where they're just like, he's just too smart, we can't do it?
Right. Like, there's smarter people than I that are more plugged in.
Right.
Yeah.
And the scouting scene and all that say he's going to be really fucking good. And I'm inclined to trust that. And I, you know, it's always that fun time of the year when you get rookies on your team and you're rooting for the guys to like come in and figure it out as soon as possible. Or like, what are they going to bring? Or like, are we going to strike gold? Are we going to be the team that just finds a guy that comes out and is good now and is going to be a starter at the very least? You know, that it's an exciting time.
Yep.
I think we drafted pretty well.
I think we did too. Good. Next question comes from Ryan. Ryan asks, what's the best Super Nintendo game ever? My grandma still had hers boxed up in her house and recently gave it to me. My kids just got to watch me throw the controller because I still suck at Super Mario.
Best Super Nintendo game ever?
So, okay, so my answer is definitely, like, nostalgia-based slash, like, my dad, blah, blah, blah. So we had a Nintendo growing up. Actually, he bought a Nintendo, like, a couple months before I was born, and my mom was really mad at him because it was like, why would you buy this when I'm about to have a kid? Anyway, so growing up, we would play Street Fighter II. And in my head, like, that's, like, the greatest game of all time because I played it all the time, and I could never beat my dad ever. Like, ever, like, could beat him. Like, he just, like, knew all the fucking combinations and, like, would never give me time to actually try to learn it on my own. You know, he was just like, okay, we're going to play. I'm going to beat your ass at this game. So that game forever will be, like, my favorite game of all time just because it was, like, one of those things that me and my dad did growing up together. So
mine, I'm going to go a little deep cut because I did actually get one of those SNES minis.
Oh, nice.
Actually, I got it from a Craigslist find, and he actually had a mod. Like, he has like a little USB mod that he put into it. Yeah, so I not only got it turbo illegal, but who cares? But like, it's like basically any SNES game that's ever been made, every Sega Genesis game.
What the fuck?
Like, Game Boy, regular NES, all this stuff. So I was a little overwhelmed because there's like so many things to pick from, but I still think my favorite's Secret of Mana. That's one of the best, like,
RPGs. Okay, yeah.
The best part about it is like actually being able to like be in combat with it, rather than it being like the turn base, which is basically what most of them did. I thought ultimately that one was the one that got me stoked about video games was Secret of Mana.
Nice.
Like, Mario was good. I had a lot of Super Nintendo games. I think I'll just go based on my favorites. I mean, that's necessarily the best games, but it's a tie for me. I had the tied at my number one spot will be the Power Rangers side-scroller game.
Yes.
Because it was fun. Okay. And then you could play as the Zords later. And
guys, we're missing this. We're all wrong.
Yeah.
It's NBA Jam.
NBA Jam is good too. Oh, but God. I'm going to go with Mario Kart based on the most ridiculous reason possible. And that is just because, you know how in Mario Kart, at least that version of the game, probably the other ones too, but I just remember this specifically, like when other characters would pass you, they had like a noise they would make to taunt you. But fucking Bowser, whenever he would pass you, would just make a noise that made me lose my shit every time. So he'd pass you and he'd just go, whoa. That's it. I would laugh my ass off every time.
Well impersonated.
That's a very low standards for my favorite Super Nintendo game.
Apparently. Great question. All right, let's see. We did get a question from a guy named Ollie saying, wait, you have a podcast? Yes, we do.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty easy answer.
I'm answering this like just to be super meta. So that's good. Like, next question is from Master T. They ask, what free agents should the Mavs target next season? And there's a lot of fucking free agents next season, so which is good because we have cap space. But I want Giannis. So
sure. I think that's just going to be across the board here.
That's just who I want.
We need us some Giannis.
Oh, God damn it. Please don't start that shit.
Yeah, dude. Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's us.
Someone say Giannis.
Oh, Jerry Jones. He walked in.
I have a sensor. You know, I'm a filthy rich man. I just have the sensor in my big ass mansion sitting in my Texas shaped swimming pool. It just tells me when the phrase Giannis is uttered in a nearby distance, and I just joined the Zoom call.
So it's like searching your own name and your mentions, like in Twitter.
Exactly, but for the giant Greek anus. I wanted to play for the Dallas Cowboys and the Mavericks.
Oh, my God, dude. Okay.
And yeah, you know, and if we play the cards right, I think we could get caught. He Leonard as well.
The great Kawhi.
The great Kawhi. It's the great Kawhi's birthday, I think.
It's so fucking late. Fuck this you. So
good. Anyway, I gotta go massage Dak's leg. I'll be back.
So mad that he left before I could ask him anything. Oh my God. I was just so shell-shocked that Jerry just got on the call.
I didn't know I even sent him the Zoom link. Apparently he has access to this.
I think when you're wealthy, it just happens.
He just has access to Zoom. He just goes, that one. They say Giannis.
Oh, geez.
The dueling Jerry Jones.
Okay, next question.
How many retweets for a Jerry off? Next,
that'll be.
I might tweet that out later. Next question comes from Sammy. Ooh, okay. He asked, if Porzingis couldn't stay healthy, would we be a fresh on exit again? Like this next.
I think we're more well-rounded because I think that the thin part of our bench has been shipped off for very, I would say more battle-worn players. You've got Josh Richardson that, you know, had a pretty deep run in the playoffs with the Sixers, or has been with the Sixers and the Heat, both in playoff minutes. James Johnson's, you know, weathered veteran, and we've discussed his fighting capabilities, so we know that he would be a perfect playoff enforcer. So, you know, in addition to like the youth that we got, they're, you know, discounting rookie jitters, whatever, it just sounds like we actually have wing depth. The only thing I would say is that we just don't have size right now. And now, granted, that's seeming less and less important in this league, but when the top Western Conference teams are, you've got Jokic, Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns, James Wiseman is now in this conference. I mean, we got to talk about him since he's now playing with Golden State, which are going to be, they're going to be good.
They could be back.
DeAndre, Clay, they're going to be good because Kelly Oubre is not a pushover. He's no joke.
No, he's not. He's also very beautiful.
Awesome. What a sweet boy.
I just think
more like Kelly Oubre. Am I right?
Wow, Jesus, that hasn't been said like 100 times on Twitter.
Has it?
He just broke one of my ribs.
No.
You know, if you can't stay healthy, if Porzingis can't stay healthy, I think, like, I feel like we'll be okay, you know?
I feel like this team is more tailor-made around Luka's strengths than necessarily Porzingis' strengths, especially with having a bunch of people that can make up for his defensive limitations.
It's almost like KP is a bonus.
Yeah,
KP is like a bonus guy.
And it's not to discount his presence. Like, obviously, we need that guy. But this team is built around Luka.
Wow.
Even KP is a piece around Luka.
Yeah.
And listening to Don talk, I mean, I would say that this team is built to weather that storm a little better if KP can't go. Because if you think about it in the context of the playoff series that we lost, one could make the argument that if that team were a little bigger on the perimeter and a little tougher, had a little more defenders, Luka alone may have been enough to win that series.
Yeah.
I mean, those games, other than that one, like, we were competing. We just didn't have it. We're a little stronger now, even without KP. So who knows? It's going to be interesting. And I just had the thought, it's going to be interesting seeing. So I think we did get bigger, but we're light on the bigs, if that makes sense. It's going to be interesting to see what our bigs do when we have better perimeter guys too. So it's not just a free parade to the rim. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but Rick's got some tools in his bag now, and it's going to be fun.
And we fucking know Rick. Rick didn't have, like, the final, like, you know, lineup ready until, like, the playoffs. So, you
know. That's the mad science.
Don't fucking get it, dude. Like, he just was fucking around all fucking season and finally got to the playoffs. So, okay, here's the fucking lineup now. And we're like, and it works. And it worked pretty well for a little bit.
Warlock piece of shit.
Jesus. Okay, last question. Oh, this question. Okay, an account called Deep State Mavericks asked thoughts on the second Mavs Twitter civil war. Do you think it's fair people are being treated as guilty by association? Thanks. So first of all, I didn't know there was a civil war. Or, like, a first one at all?
I've turned off my notifications, so I wasn't told.
I don't know any of the stuff that's been going on. So, you know, I mean, I guess I've seen – I had some people, like, ask me about stuff, and I really don't know kind of what's going on, really. You know, guys, like, yeah, I'm on Twitter, but I'm literally – I just tweet, like, very stream of consciousness on there. Same. You know, I tweet very stream of consciousness. I have a day job. So, you know, that actually pays my bills. Like, this is for fun. So, you know, unless the Mavs do want to offer me a, you know, a job somewhere. But until then, you know, like, I'm just doing this for fun. I don't know anything about really a civil war. That's such a weird way to put it.
I would say that it is hyperbole as far as you can extend that word's meaning. I think ultimately, I think some people can take things a little personally, and it's really easy to when you are dealing with an app that's basically blocks of texts and faces, and it's really easy to get upset and interpret things a certain way. So what I'm saying is just a public disclaimer. The only reason I am doing this the only reason I'm on Twitter is to have a more connected conversation about the team I love. It's the reason I do this podcast. It's the reason we do this thing, is because we love the Dallas Mavericks. We love being dorks about sports and this specific team. And the fact that anyone could take it as like an attack on their personal, I'm sorry that was ever interpreted that way. I know I'm not really involved in any of this because I have the clout of a goldfish, but I feel there might be goldfish that have more followers now that I think about it, but let's look it up.
Go follow Don.
That's really what I'm getting at is, can I please get more clout so I could be a part of this civil war? I need to arm more disciples.
Must have this much clout to war.
Well, if our president's taught us.
I'll piggyback on what Don said. I mean, the bird is for a bunch of sports dorks nerding out about the Mavs and having a good time. And it's just a bunch of dorks saying words about the Mavs, as far as I'm concerned. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. And, you know, lean into the good stuff. And I don't think we should be bullying our own. I will say that. We all want to just kick back and root for the Mavs. not that I'm accusing anyone, but I don't know what's going on. So yeah, I think it's kind of hyperbole, but yeah, have fun. You can't get on the bird. Just kick back, have a good time. And if someone's being a dick, just block them. Move on.
Well, you know? Said. I think that's the official stance of the Hoops and Half-A-Fives podcast.
Or if I like you, I'll troll them for you. Like, I don't care.
Don't bully them unless
say my name three times in a mirror and I will quote tweet them.
Squish 41.
Start a Cash App service. Cash App
service. Like a little extra money doing
just,
this.
Yeah, just a side hustle, getting people to pay me to troll people that are
specifically on Mavs Twitter.
Yeah. Mavs Twitter bodyguard services. The Mavs Twitter mercenary for hire.
Well, we've politely gotten off the rails at just the right time. So, guys, yeah. It's good to be back. It's good to have the off season to talk about. It's good talking Mavs with everybody. We appreciate everyone. So, real quick, I did actually want to shout out a specific listener. One of our, by the way, I will be mailing out or actually delivering one of our the prizes from our giveaway. It's been a crazy couple weeks, but appreciate your patience on that. One of them was our listener, Rutuj, who probably due to the fact that we're recording 10 hours, I didn't submit a question, but he's been doing it forever. He won one of our prize giveaways, and he's in India. And I will say that we greatly underestimated how expensive it is to send a very small thing to India. It is very expensive. So I was just like, hey, we're going to find some way of getting something to you. And his response, I'm sure he wouldn't mind me reading this. He says, like, he had something in mind about the award anyways. He said, if possible, please donate the winnings to an orphanage or a homeless shelter. It's the biggest gift for me that y'all accepted me into the MFFL community, especially being an outsider. Never did I endure any form of racism or was told to shut up because I was not from the US, something that I've suffered in the past. So thank you for entertaining us with the pod. It makes my Sundays. I hope to meet y'all at a Dallas Mavs game in the future. So I wanted to end the show on that positivity because this is the reason that we do stuff like this. Rutuj, you are the man. We're going to find something to get out to you. We're just going to do it through a different way than just snail mailing it through UPS for $200. But anyways, we're going to figure something out. You're the man. We are going to donate on behalf of the MFFLs to a local orphanage or homeless shelter. We'll announce that at another time. It's seeing that selflessness and seeing someone say, like, hey, this has been a cool thing that I met through the internet. Now let's do some real change. That's how you make the world a better place, guys. So I just wanted to leave it on that. So you can find Dick Nowitzki, a.k.a. at Squish41 on Twitter. You can find Ruben at Red Mavericks. And you can find me at Don_Denim on Twitter. We all contribute to the MFFLs.com. You can also follow that Twitter handle at @_MFFLs. So without further ado, this has been the Hoops and Hep'n'Visons podcast. Have a great week and be kind to one another.
Later, guys.